Open House this week will feature guest hosts from the South Mountain Partnership. The South Mountain Partnership is a collaborative network of people and organizations protecting and promoting the agricultural, natural, cultural, and recreational resources of Adams, Cumberland, Franklin, and York counties. Over time, we have transformed into an alliance of citizens, businesses, nonprofits, colleges and universities, and government agencies all working together because we love the place that we call home. Our work can only move forward with the help of our partners, and today we want to highlight the important work they are doing in the region. We hope you will join us. Click the link below or scan the QR code to learn more about our State of the Region project.
Welcome to Open House, a program celebrating great people doing great things in our community. I'm Julia Chain with the South Mountain Partnership, and I'm excited to be your guest host today. I'm even more excited to interview our guest, Elizabeth, today. Elizabeth Grant is a planning specialist at the Cumberland County Planning Office. Elizabeth, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you, Julia. I'm really happy to join you today.
Yeah, so you are one of the founding sort of members of the South Mountain Partnership and have worked with us for a really long time and know a lot about our structure, but we've got so many different partners working in a variety of different fields. We've got business, local government, nonprofit, educational institutions, and retired folks, many more, all sorts of things. And so I want to hear a little bit more about the planning world. Tell me about you and your role at the county.
Sure, well, thank you. Yeah, I actually have been really grateful to work with South Mountain Partnership across two counties. I've been in planning for about 9 years now. First, I was with Franklin County, and I've been with Cumberland County for about 5 years. And our primary functions as planners are to really comprehensively plan for our communities. And, you know, that includes thinking about things like infrastructure, transportation, utilities, preservation of land, and also economic development. So that includes doing subdivision and land development reviews for all of the plans that come through our municipalities. And we also support our municipalities with technical assistance for ordinance updates, zoning ordinances, and also comprehensive plans.
That's a lot of behind-the-scenes work to make sure that folks have a really nice place to live, play, work. I'm sure that there's a lot that most folks maybe don't know happens behind your doors. So tell me about how the county, with so many different priorities, how do they focus on the resources that we seek to protect here in the South Mountain? So that would be like natural resources, recreational, agriculture, or historic resources.
Sure. So with my role with Cumberland County Planning Department, I've been working with supporting some of our work in protecting agricultural land. The County Planning Department operates the Farmland Preservation Program, and we have a goal to protect 30,000 acres by 2030, which we're well on our way to achieving that
coming
goal.
Coming up, 2030, not too many years away, right?
Definitely. My work with Cumberland County, I also support our countywide Clean Water Action Plan, and that involves looking at our pollutant reduction that is planned for nitrogen and phosphorus for the county. We have been doing a number of projects, stream restoration projects, projects improving agricultural practices, so putting in conservation best management practices to either remove livestock from the stream or better manage manure and heavy use areas on farms. We've been doing a lot of that with our preserved farm owners and also with the conservation district working with the farming community.
Yeah, that's interesting. It sounds like there's a synthesis between the two of those then.
Yeah, absolutely. And then another area, the county adopted a climate action plan in 2022, and I've been working with the implementation of that plan. And so far, we have been converting our county fleet to electric vehicles. We're looking at solar opportunities for the county. And also there is a solar cooperative that's currently underway for residents of Dauphin and Cumberland counties, and we're looking at how we can help just support education to residents about what solar is.
Absolutely, yeah, I think there's much to learn, and I know as a resident, that's something that would interest me a lot. And Cumberland County is really a leader in a lot of these things. So, you know, to start at your first point, farmland preservation, your farmland preservation program is well known for being really successful. So congratulations for all that hard work. And these two special action projects have really also shown you to be a leader, I think, in trying to get good outcomes for residents.
Absolutely, yeah. It's, I mean, Our comprehensive plan update is currently underway as well, and we had a public survey as part of that comprehensive plan, and that's one of the things we heard from people the most. You know, they really want to see open space protection, they want to see farmland preserved, and there was such a huge outreach around kind of those factors that really contribute to quality of life. Yeah. For our community and our residents, and I think that's really important that we listen to them and respond.
Yeah, Cumberland County has a lot to protect there on the table. There's really beautiful scenery and great communities, and so it sounds like the citizens want that protected, and you're working to kind of make that happen. So tell me more about the comprehensive plan process. It sounds like you did a lot to connect with the community to understand what they wanted to see.
Yeah, we did. We did a pretty extensive survey into the community and really heard back, you know, as I mentioned, open space protection, farmland preservation. People really identified those quality of life factors. They talked about small community feeling of a lot of our towns. Yeah. They talked about community events that they enjoy, and also just kind of those small businesses that really give the area character.
I hear in the comp plan you engaged a lot of residents in getting feedback from them. How did you take the feedback that you heard from them and apply it into the plan?
Sure. So one of the things we heard from residents, we wanted to kind of gauge their understanding of municipal planning processes, mm-hmm. and those documents, those comprehensive plans, yeah. ordinances that really create the process by which land development occurs in their communities. And we heard that they were really unfamiliar with a lot of those things. Many of them have not attended public meetings,
right.
either at the county or municipal level. And so we thought we really wanted to help educate people. So that was part of our mission. We organized our plan into planning principles. And those are really articulating what good planning and good development and good preservation look like. So one of our principles is engage to improve.
Okay.
And we're looking at rolling out a plan to the community to help kind of educate them, as I mentioned, on how they can engage better with municipal government processes. So that it's not, you know, when they see a development plan that affects their neighborhood and
yeah.
they don't like it, they come out. Instead, we're encouraging people to kind of understand those best points of entry into the municipal decision-making
yeah.
process.
So much of our conservation work ends up being reactive, and it sounds like this is an opportunity to learn how to be a little bit more proactive, to get involved earlier. So if somebody was kind of came to you and said, hey, Elizabeth, how could I get better involved in my community, where would you advise them to start?
Sure. I would advise them to look at their planning commission on the municipal level and you know, determine if there was an opportunity to go to those meetings
yeah.
and maybe even get involved. A lot of municipalities are looking for volunteers
yeah.
to serve on these committees. There's also, if they're interested in farmland preservation, there's the Agricultural Security Area Committee that municipalities that have ASAs should have. So that's a way that they can get involved. Go to a public meeting, you know, with your board of supervisors or your council, and just try to understand kind of how things get discussed there and how things get brought to those decision makers' attention. Certainly, the comprehensive plan is a great way
yes.
to get involved, because that's kind of a vision, that's a
right.
guiding document, and it sets the tone and it sets in play the zoning ordinance that enacts laws for the development of, and the you know, for the zoning of the community.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, talk to me more about this idea of vision, because you mentioned that you have some planning principles, and I had an opportunity to hear you present about them and even show some visuals that were really neat. And maybe we'll be able to put those in here behind us as we're talking. But help me understand, like, what are some of the other planning principles and how do they create a vision? So I know one of them is engaging our residents, but what are some other visioning opportunities?
Sure. So one of the planning principles is preserve the best first. And, you know, I think part of that goes into, like, thinking about, you know, land use and where we currently don't have maybe infrastructure such as utility, water, sewer, and maybe looking at those areas adjacent to conserved land
mm-hmm.
and really trying to build, like, with our farmland preservation, building out blocks of farmland so that we can help actually support agricultural as a viable industry, you
right.
know, in our communities. And so I think that that planning process is so important because it really looks at kind of where we have potential growth areas and where we have areas that should be preserved.
Right, and that and creating that connectivity then between those preserved areas, that sounds really exciting. All right, so we've talked about planning principles that help to create a vision, help to engage our residents, but what about building communities? Are there any planning principles that relate to that?
Yeah, so one of the planning principles is plan for people and places, and that planning principle in particular is really about quality of life and how do our communities look and how do they function in terms of walkability, community atmosphere, and what are those features of your community that really make it distinct? And those might include historic structures, you know, that should be preserved for future generations, and you know, just those elements that really create those small town feelings that people really enjoy.
I heard an interesting study the other day about trees. If you walk outside and you can see trees, you're automatically going to be a little happier at the start of the day. So maybe that's something that would fit into that planning principle.
Absolutely.
Well, sweet. So we're talking about a really strategic level of thinking on the county's perspective, and the county has also really helped us think strategically about our plans moving forward as a network. And so you've been involved in the State of the Region project since its beginning, and I think it was originally visioned as a way to bring a really diverse group of interests together to measure the health of our region, to understand how we're doing, and then to take action together. So we produced this report card, some associated maps, and then these recommended actions. And serving the county served on our steering committee and helped break down a huge list of recommended actions to some things that we really felt like we could get into together and really make an impact on. So I wanted to talk to you about a couple of those projects, and one of them we're already getting started on now. It's a pretty neat project and involves our entire four-county region working together, and we're really proud to have started this natural heritage inventory, which will help us survey and really take down data on both special plants and animals. So tell me, how does that impact your work, and how do you see that creating, you know, more built capacity for conservation?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is a really important initiative. You know, our natural areas inventory, I think the previous one was 2005.
Yes, yeah.
So it actually, we do use it as a planning tool. When we have subdivision and land development plans that come through, you know, that is one of the things that we look at. You know, could they be potentially impacting the core habitat of a species of concern? But currently, you know, that's very, like we talked about the difference between proactive and kind of almost being at the tail end.
Right.
Unless we have really, you know, actionable recommendations we can make about what those habitat needs are, you know, we're really asking a developer to consider a species of concern. Whereas if we knew what those requirements were, and at the beginning, we could reach out to the municipality and help with some proactive planning, such as potentially looking at easements to protect, you know, that core habitat areas. It would be just a great improvement on the process there. And you know, as you mentioned, like conservation, having more information to make intelligent decisions on conservation priorities is absolutely necessary.
Yeah, so when we're surveying these, you know, plants and animals, we want to be sure to protect them, and this data is going to help us move forward. But this also is a passion project for a lot of us, and I know you really care a lot. So tell me, have you had any kind of fun experiences with these plants and animals in our region?
Yeah, absolutely. I you know, my background is actually in biology. I've done field studies with home ranges of red cockaded woodpeckers, like right out of college. That was like one of my first projects. The other night, actually, when I was driving back to my house, there was a great horned owl right in the middle of our road, and it was standing there. I surprised it just about as much as it surprised me, I think. And so, I mean, those are the wildlife in our region is really, you know, significant reason that many of us live here, right? Yeah. You know, the ability to hear spring peepers in the middle of the night, you know, having these gorgeous streams, the mountain, And all of this protected land, you know, so nearby to us, it's really essential that we protect it. And I think that sometimes, you know, we need to have good information so that we can make the best decisions on those areas to protect. Yeah. And I think, well, I think that some other areas, you know, we know a lot about, you know, such as, you know, where those prime soils are for agricultural preservation. I think wildlife is one area that we, you know, needs additional attention.
I'm excited to see some of the results of the survey. And I think birds, as you brought up, are one of those resources that we have here in the area that are really undervalued. And so it's really, I'll be excited to see what we've got in the area and what they find on their survey. So another project that we're taking on in the state of the region is connecting this wildlife that would be surveyed in future years with corridors. So I think the way that we know we have some really core public land that we protect in the South Mountain, the spine of our region, the Michaux State Forest primarily. And we want to make sure that that ridge gets connected to other ridges nearby in our region so that animals and plants can flourish and travel. How does that kind of protection corridor related conservation work apply for you?
Yeah, so I think one of the things is that, you know, when we get this new data with the Natural Areas Inventory, that's going to help inform us kind of what the core habitat needs are for species of concern and imperiled species. And then we can kind of look from those core habitat areas to help, you know, understand, like you mentioned, the migratory patterns, where we have opportunities to create corridors. And, you know, a lot of this can be informed by citizen scientists. Mm-hmm. You know, I participate with the Pennsylvania Master Naturalist Program. I know we have a lot of volunteers in this area that also do that. There are Master Watershed Stewards who are also interested. And I think, you know, building that data and understanding what species we have in different concentrations and where those significant populations are can help us with corridor planning. I recently heard in, I think it was Oregon State, there was a game commission project to use citizen science data for mapping actually animal mortality areas on our state roadways, or on their state roadways. And they were using citizen science data to kind of help identify where those hot spots were so that they could help plan, you know, safe passage for them.
Right. That could do a lot both for human safety and quality of life and for the animals to have what they need to flourish. So yeah, that sounds like a project that we could really do. And it's interesting to hear, you know, you were talking earlier about water resources. It seems like, you know, some of those habitats might fall into a corridor. I know one of the natural corridors that we see across the valley are often waterways.
Yes.
So it's cool to see how each of these sort of layer against one another and potentially can inform.
Right. So. Well, and another planning process, we have a lot going on right now. Another planning process we're currently involved with, and I know you've been in essentially involved with that, is our Greenways and Open Space Plan, the Land Partnerships Plan. And I know that data is, you know, is being used to, you know, really reflect kind of where those priority corridors are as well, and where potential trail connectivity projects would be as
well. Yeah, also. And a corridor often could be a trail too, so there's an opportunity to meet a lot of different needs with these corridors. And it has been a really neat experience to participate in the land partnerships portion of your comprehensive plan. It's allowed me to learn more about how planning works and also to kind of see a really cool vision for the future of a place I grew up. So it's been very meaningful to me too.
Wonderful.
So as a South Mountain Partnership partner, are there different or new opportunities that are kind of brought up by that or take you outside of the silo of your particular work?
Oh, absolutely. You know, this group is just a wonderful, amazing group of talented people that I would say overall are kind of systems thinkers.
Yeah.
And I think that is so important because we all do share kind of a common future, and we really do have to take a part in that. And I think, you know, thinking regionally, thinking broader, and planning broader, I think is definitely benefits all of us. We've had some really great collaborative opportunities through being involved in South Mountain Partnership. You know, the whole sense of kind of building where the energy is and following that. You know, we've done some amazing things. There was the solar work group that formed. Mm-hmm. We had some really good opportunities to kind of work with our solar ordinance and look at kind of incentives you know, based on protecting natural resources around that ordinance work. There's been, I was really happy to be involved with this historic preservation project with other partners in the South Mountain region, and I think there just seem to be these projects that we all are able to coalesce around.
Yeah, and it certainly builds the energy to have multiple types of partners involved, and the resources and the wisdom that you each are bringing to the table. Tell me more about this historic preservation project that the county's involved in.
Sure. So I think that is another example where we're trying to, you know, our previous comprehensive plan was from 2017, and we had a historic resources inventory as part of that plan. I think that, you know, our goal is to update that historic resources inventory going forward, and connecting with, you know, Shippensburg University, with the history department, with the Center for Land Use and Sustainability, and also with the State Historic Preservation Office and other citizen advocates. I think we just recognize that there's a need to better understand from a citizen resident perspective how we go about protecting, you know, these historic resources, these places that are really important to us and give our community character. So I think that was kind of the nexus or kind of the center of this project. And then putting together the workshops, and then eventually this citizen action guide is going to be really a great outcome.
Well, I'm so pleased that the county has supported that project and understands kind of that need for information. And it's all the same sort of thrust of what we've been talking about, being proactive and being involved is the number one thing we can do to retain some of the qualities we really love about our home. And historic resources and beautiful natural resources are two big characteristics of the South Mountain region, and especially Cumberland Valley. So I really appreciate everything that you do to protect them, both in your day job and after work. You're a really committed a person for our region, and we're glad to have you.
Thanks so much, Julia. Yeah,
thanks for coming to talk with me. It's really fun to hear about some of these projects.
Appreciate it.
Thanks. That was Open House.